What's going on, guys? Hope you're having a great Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the Clearview Today Show. I want to let you know that today's episode and the secret word for today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. Unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu's ultra pure filtration systems provide water that's free from contaminants and infused with only the essentials that your body needs. Make the smart choice today and experience the difference of Le Bleu. You can order online at Le Bleu, that's LEBLEU.com. And when you check out, use that promo code today, TODAY, to get 10% off your next order. It'll save you money and it supports us here at the Clearview Today Show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. Link is in the description below. And we are here with our host, Dr. Abadan Shah, in the studio today. He's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show, Dr. Shah. Welcome. Welcome.
A little tune there.
Yeah, I'm having a good day. It's a good day.
You have a hair right here that doesn't belong to you.
Go ahead and take it.
There you go.
You know what I'm having such a good day for? I'm excited about what's coming up next week. We're going to Dallas.
Yes.
So excited.
Having a good time.
This, for those of you who do not know, this is NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention. The first one that I went to, the only one that I've been to, was the one in 1994.
Wow.
1994.
You'd only been in the country 3 years.
That's right.
Imagine getting to America and then 3 years later, you're at NRB. That's pretty cool.
Wow. And I didn't have any money. I did not book the hotels, nothing. I had been through a rough time in my life. It was horrible. And when you go through those times and you're walking with God, don't lose heart.
That's right.
God always has a special plan. He has a special present. And so as I was coming out of that difficult season, had rededicated my life to God, I had a new sense of purpose and joy. I come back. And I am in the communications building was sort of like in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
It was not really a basement. It was just like the lowest floor, but it almost seemed like it was underground a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there working, and my professor, Mr. Michael O'Brien,
mm-hmm.
he came by. He said, "Hey, NRB, you want to go?" I said, I did not do any of the registration and didn't put any of my deposit in. You remember, I couldn't go. No, I'm asking you, do you want to go? I said, yeah, I would love to go. He said, well, somebody backed out, everything paid for, all you got to do is go.
Wow.
I said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm like, thank you, Lord. I mean, the blessings are coming.
That's right. Wow.
And I mean, had just like a month ago, I was like in the pits, and now I'm like, I'm heading to DC.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And nothing, I don't have to buy anything. I don't have to pay anything. I just have to sit in my I rode with one of my other professors, who was Mr. Ed Welch, on the radio.
Mm.
Get him behind a microphone, and he is like the coolest guy ever. Get him in front of the class, he's like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, yes, you could sit. I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean, that's what you." Hello, this is Ed Welch. I mean, he's like
that
contrast.
Radio personality.
Yes.
Comes out.
That's
but
awesome.
Anyways, I went with him and had a great time. And then you guys went last year.
We did.
Yes.
We did.
In 2024. Yep.
We went to Nashville, had a great time, learned a lot, met a lot of incredible people, and I'm looking forward to Dallas.
It's
next
definitely
week.
Like saying, I'm thirsty, I want to learn a little bit, and then putting your mouth on an open fire hydrant.
100%.
But I'm glad we did, because that lets us go, that lets us go this year and really be able to say, okay, I know sort of what it's about. I've met a couple of people. Now we're going to go in and we're going to actually try to make an impact.
I get to go with you guys.
This time
I get to enjoy as well.
Yes.
So because last time when y'all came back and told me the stories, I'm like, oh yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
And but the NRB, you guys' experience has grown so much more.
True.
And this is where you meet all the big names 100%. Who are in television, radio, broadcasting.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Very much so.
Dr. Shaw, your story from earlier goes perfectly with today's verse. Did you plan that? I don't know if you like were looking
at
it.
No, I just had a little nostalgic moment.
It goes perfectly with the verse today. The verse of the day today comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
I mean, that does go really well together. Like, I mean, imagine you've only been in America 3 years. You know what I mean? You're feeling, I can imagine you're feeling sort of isolated, not isolated, but you're feeling like I'm an outsider. I'm not really sure. I know I don't really fit in, and I'm coming out of this hard time in my life. And now here comes this opportunity where God is showing me how faithful he is.
That's right.
And I think even with us, like, we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the house of God. There's a place of belonging. Mm. And I think even at Clearview Church, we try to strive for that people feel like they belong here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's our goal, is to give them not just a church, but a church family.
Right. That's right.
You know, some place where you can, you feel like these are your values. And if they're not your values, they should be your values, because they're coming from the Word of God. They're coming from the historic tradition of what Christianity, you know, the heart of Christianity is all about. And we want people to come in and make that their family values.
Right.
That's the goal we have.
That's right.
That's right. So beautiful.
That's right.
Guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more Clearview Today. Hey, Clearview Today listeners. We want to take a quick moment to thank you for tuning in. As you can imagine, producing a show like this takes a lot of time, effort, and resources. And we're grateful for the Truth Network for giving us a platform to syndicate our show. But the vast majority of our support comes from listeners just like you. If you enjoy these talks with Dr. Shaw and you want to see Clearview Today continue to grow, consider making a donation today, because your contributions help us deliver fun, relevant, and biblical content right to your phone every single day.
That's right. Every single donation, big or small, goes directly to the production of this show. It helps us keep the lights on in the studio. It helps keep the mics hot and running. So if these conversations are making a difference in your day, or if you just want to help us keep the gospel of Jesus Christ in the airwaves, we would appreciate your support. You can give by visiting our website. That's clearviewtodayshow.com, and just click on that button that says Give Today. And remember, your support truly makes a difference in our show. Thank you for being part of this community. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
Dr. Shaw had a great conversation yesterday about the type of workers that you typically find in ministry, right? A lot of times you would think that people in ministry, because they're working for God's kingdom, they're going to give it their all, man. They're going to go 100% in. It usually turns out to be just
that. That's not true.
Unfortunately.
His face fell when I said it. He was like, no. So we talked yesterday about the different types of workers that you typically find. You got the workers, you got the survivors. What was the third one?
Saboteurs. Not the saber tooths.
No.
Saber-tooths. Hopefully you don't have any of those in your workplace, unless you work at a museum.
You can always go back and listen on the podcast. But if you're listening on the radio, do you want to just give a quick recap about those three workers and what we're talking about?
Absolutely. So before I do that, before I talk about those three and then today two, which means altogether five different kinds of workers, and there may be more, but those are the big five that stand out to me. I remember very distinctly, and I'm going back to the year 2010, when I knew that no longer I can do this job alone. Means now I need someone to come alongside. And so I actually went and did research. And I had worked in the secular field. I was even a principal of a Christian school for 4 years. So I had learned how to manage a staff, cast vision, do administration, strategy planning, all that stuff. So I had done that, but not in a church environment. Church is different. School, even if it's private school, Christian school, is not the church, because there are certain things you can do in a work environment that you cannot do in a ministry environment. Although everywhere it should be ministry.
Right.
This is different, still different. So I was like, okay, Lord, I need to learn. I need to learn how to now have someone else alongside me. It's not easy to do. When you are the only person on staff, you and your wife, and then all of a sudden now you have to share, you have to think how this changes the dynamics of the leadership. You have to now lead that person. or you'll get led by the person. Mm-hmm. If they're really good leaders, then of course, yeah, that's great. Please help us go to the next level. But if they're not, they will take it down. Mm-hmm. Or they'll try to sabotage you. So I remember very distinctly in 2009 doing research on how to have a staff. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to work it in a church with multiple staff members? And then putting it out for seminaries and colleges, you know, hey, we're looking to hire somebody mm-hmm. in a youth slash worship position, which is one of the worst things you can do.
Is put them together?
Yes. Churches do that. It's like, hey, look, I got the perfect idea. I got the perfect idea. Uh-huh. What if we get us a song leader
and
a youth pastor together?
All in one, two for the price of fun, baby.
And it could, it will make, it will, get ready. No, no, no. You hold your applause. It will make a great part-time position.
I gotta give it to him, man. I gotta give it to him, man.
We're going to save all kinds of money over here, man.
Two for the price of half.
Can I tell you something? I'm not joking when I say this. I know that Clearview is not the first church to ever split them apart, but it's the first that I ever saw. Is he going to live in the parsonage? No. That's where the pastor lives.
The pastor lives. Now, if the parsonage is so worthless that, you know, yeah, it's got mold and mildew there, definitely.
Yeah,
the pastor needs to live, so he'll have a house.
Right.
He can have that.
He can have that one.
As long as he wants to.
Yeah. There are,
and he'll be tri-vocational.
There are student pastor slash worship song leaders listening to this right now and be like, wait, I think these guys are talking about me.
Someone knows me. Someone sees me.
You've been duped,
we get you, brother.
Yeah. You've been had.
Now don't go out there and resign. But when people tell me that, I'm thinking, yeah, you want to kill yourself, a young man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You really are out to hurt someone, aren't you?
I genuinely, if you were doing worship and or I were doing students, I don't know how it would function. I think they would both be mediocre.
Yes. And they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. That's exactly what happens. And that's what we did at the time. I was thinking, like, we're not a big enough church. And I get it. At the time, maybe it was an okay thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that's going back, in 2010? So that's mm-hmm. 15 years ago. Maybe it was okay for that period of our church's life. And I did it that year, mm-hmm. 2010, for like 4 months. And that person didn't last. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not working out. Mm-hmm. And then hired another person, and that person did it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, I knew. So in just 2.5 years, or 2 years and 4 months, I knew that is a bad decision.
That's the bad model. Gotcha.
Yeah, you cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And so churches out there, I know you're trying to save money and you're trying to make things work, but trying to have the split position and trying to pay them part-time, you need to do some soul searching.
Yeah, you also have to think through, like, what are the chances that you're going to find a young man who's really, really great with
and
teenagers?
Married. And married.
Yeah, a young married man who's really got a heart for teenagers and a heart
music.
For music and is good at both.
And yeah. And can survive on a part-time salary.
Yeah. And if, to make matters worse, I can even add to that. Now, we didn't do that because mm-hmm. I had already made up my mind. We had already moved through that phase of our church's life. But some of them were like, and we want them to do us a blended worship.
Blended worship.
Which means this, two hymns, and then he can pick a praise song.
Yikes. I think this is a unicorn. I don't think this person actually exists.
No. They're all over the land.
Dude, you'd be surprised what people would do for a $100 a week check.
Man.
They could eat maybe some chef board, eat tonight.
Yeah. And then two hymns and a song.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'll do it.
Look, now the folks here love him, and that's okay. I promise you, there's so much theology in it. It's like, oh my goodness.
And they'll find them too. I don't know how long they'll last, but they will find those young men.
But they'll find them, but they just don't last, and I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that kind of goes into the discussion is they're not following a vision. You know what I mean? They're following
a set of
rules, or they're following like a desired culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
good way to say that. I mean, there is no vision, and the pastor does have a vision. It never lines up with the student pastor or the worship pastor or the blended version of a part-time both. Mm-hmm. Because who would have the time and the motivation to say, yeah, that's what I want to invest in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
you know, your vision for, you know, pastor, whoever you are. Mm-hmm. No, you're like, I'm just buying time because I just want to have something on my resume
right.
when I apply for a real job.
Mm. Right.
That's a good point.
So it never really works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how a job setup like that could be anything other than a training ground or a chance to pad your resume.
Well,
yeah, it's really not even a training ground. It's really to pad your resume.
Yeah.
I feel like people in the ministry know that and they're completely okay with it.
Right.
Like they're like, look, we don't expect this young man to be here more than 2 or 3 years. Right. Like that's just the system that we've created.
Right. Well, you encountered language like that, Dr. Shaw. I mean, people said that same thing about you. Like we don't expect you to stay. We know what we've got. We know what this is way before, you know, Clearview became what it is today.
Right.
You met people with that same mindset.
Yeah. They told me, I mean, you can get another job if you want to. And I did. I went back to painting and I'd like portraits and stuff, walls.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do people handle it when they say stuff like that? Like, look, we really don't expect you to hang around for very long. We know you're just trying to get some money. And you're like, no, I'm committing my life to this church. As God willing, I will not leave.
Most of the time, if they do say that, they don't mean it. Mm-hmm. You know, the people in this town who have said that at times, and like, hey, yeah, this is my church forever. And they left.
Right.
So after a while, the church people are like, sure.
Whatever
Absolutely.
You say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, we love you. Mm-hmm. We know we're here for you. But inside they're thinking, yeah, the first chance you get out of here, mm-hmm. you will. So we are the very, very, very few ones who in a small church, mm-hmm. small setting said we're not leaving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And God's going to do something because we want to, not in a sense put God to trust, but trust God.
Mm. Yeah.
And we're going to see if this really works. I mean, that's one of the motivations I had. Does it really work mm-hmm. that I preach the word, love the people, work my tail off, plan the vision, the core values, the mission, assemble a team, mm-hmm. and can we in a small town, small church, build something that will touch the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we're not quite there yet.
But
that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think that you are evidence that it does work and that mm-hmm. God is
Absolutely.
Using it to make it work.
Yeah.
Because there is a vision and it's not just a vision for this church, but I feel like the vision of Clearview is starting to spread to our community at large.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's more than just, we are a small church, but I would say we don't feel like a small church.
Right.
We mm-hmm. certainly don't operate like a small church.
I mean, we do have this feeling of a small country church in the sense that we have those values, mm-hmm. but we're not like a small country church that's stuck in our, you know,
right.
traditions.
Right.
Right.
See, there was one more, I guess, element in this whole, you know, mixture here. And that is, I was not from here. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just that I was from another state or another part of the country. I didn't even grow up in America.
Right.
So that made the challenge even greater. Mm-hmm. So it's not just God, this is a small dying church that has been marred by liberalism and legalism over the years. It's like a weird mix of we don't believe everything in the Bible, and yet we will judge everybody based on, whether they wear a dress or not, or mm-hmm. what kind of version of the Bible they're using. Is it KJV only or whatever? I mean, it was a really weird mix.
Right.
And then here I come, you know, want to reach the world, blah, 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 you know, create a vision. What made it difficult was I was not even from here. Mm-hmm. I didn't look like anybody from here. So it's not even like, okay, yeah, he looks like us, but he grew up in Scotland.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like us, but he grew up in Spain. Mm-hmm. No, he does not match anybody here.
Right.
Doesn't sound like anybody. I mean, now what? Mm-hmm. I think that made it a bigger challenge for God. Well, of course, for God, there is no challenge.
So as you're looking at this, you know, this team to assemble, as you're looking at, you know, building this structure out, do you find people coming in who fit the bill of things like workers or things like survivors? Or are you looking specifically for people who operate in the follower category?
Well, I do know. And you know, in the previous episode, we covered those three. Mm-hmm. We covered the workers. They just come in. Punch in, punch out. Mm-hmm. They don't really care. If their time is up, they're leaving. That's about it. Okay. Then we talked about the saboteurs. They're the ones who come and they have some dysfunction in them. Mm-hmm. So they will try to tear things down. Mm-hmm. They don't like the success. They don't like the limelight on somebody else. They want it for themselves. And at the heart of it is about money. Give me money. Mm-hmm. I want the money. Mm-hmm. And so they are the saboteurs. Then the survivors, they're the ones who will get on board, but they're really not on board.
Right.
They're simply trying to eke out a living. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get something out of this because I'm a survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't submit to anybody. So I'll sing your tune and I will dance your dance, but I'm not ever going to buy into the vision you have.
Right. This is not my long-term
place. This is not my long-term plan. Mm-hmm. This is not my long-term place. I'm simply passing through. I'll do what you need me to do, mm-hmm. but inside I will never submit to you. Yeah. I will never commit to this vision. Mm-hmm. The people that you're looking for are the followers. Mm-hmm. Okay. People, at least I was looking for that. People who will come and capture this vision and not just capture and say, just do what Dr. Shah tells you to do.
Right.
Or Pastor Shah tells you to do, but come and enhance the vision. Mm-hmm. Make it bigger. Mm-hmm. I've laid the foundation. The vision is really the foundation, mm-hmm. by the way. Mm-hmm. Now build on it. Take it to the limit. Mm-hmm. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you feel like people like that are rare, or do you feel like people like that can be big, like workers can become followers?
I think they can. Mm-hmm. I think workers, survivors can become that. Even saboteurs can, mm-hmm. to some extent, mm-hmm. But it's very difficult.
See, because when I came at 21, I definitely wouldn't consider myself a follower in the sense that at 21, I don't know that I could have grasped a vision to change the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was like, I really love this church because this church is much bigger than my church that I'm at right now. The people seem much friendlier. I think we met at Denny's and like had dessert.
Do you remember that? You stood out the window?
Didn't
you were outside in the window waving at
oh,
me?
Oh yeah. I was like, hey. So like when I was in like a t-shirt with like holes in it and stuff, there was definitely no, like in that first meeting, there was definitely no like way that my brain was going to grasp. You are going to buy into a leader's vision and commit your life to making someone else's vision become a reality, because in that your vision will come into perfect alignment. That was nowhere in my head at all. But I think through the years, I started to see like, wow, I remember there were people who came to you like while we were talking, just in tears, and be like, that sermon changed my life. Let's talk later. Because I need to tell you. And like people were coming in and being like, I feel like my marriage has been saved. I feel new. I was like, dang, this, like God is really working here.
There's stuff
in Henderson.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And I think through the years, that's what kind of led me to think, okay, I can really contribute to this place in a great way that keeps this vision intact.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And also be benefited in the process. Mm-hmm. It means you get to achieve your vision as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that, you know, you're just contributing somebody else's vision. No, in the process, what vision you do have, you find its place within this larger vision. Mm-hmm. And you're able to have the freedom, mm-hmm. the autonomy to do what you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
I think for me, when I started, it was like, I'm so excited to be working in a church. I'm so excited to finally, because I've been applying to church after church after church in seminary, and it was just a steady stream of rejection for a year or more. And I was just so discouraged and so disheartened. And I remember, I didn't even know where Henderson was, mm-hmm. on the map. And I remember looking at the employment portal and hitting submit on this church out in Henderson. And I was like, I don't even know where that is. This is the last resume I'm sending out. I'm just going to write it out for another year.
Did you salute it?
See ya.
Did you kiss it? Good
luck. Fly away. At that point, I was so discouraged. I was like, whatever. Maybe I'll hear a call back. Maybe I won't. I'll get through this last year and then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, you called me and said, I'd like to meet.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And from the moment that I saw your heart for the community and saw your, like, we're doing this and this, we have this initiative working with people in the inner city and we have this outreach. I was like, okay, well, this is a church that where things are happening. This is a church that cares about the community. But when I started, I was, 24, I think, when I started. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I didn't understand, like, here's a vision. Yeah. Here's because I didn't grow up in a church like that.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a vision. Here's what this church is trying to accomplish. And here's how I can come alongside and enhance and support and further.
And even benefit from it.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm sure you, that was not the first thing you thought, but you eventually realize, hey, I'm being benefited through this.
Yes.
Well, there's
yes.
all sorts of things that like grow, like when you are in the ministry that you want to do, you dream of, right? Like you dream of putting on big concerts.
That's
people
right.
come to watch. You dream of going to a
now
studio.
Now you're doing
and,
it.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. Like I was sitting in Kannapolis when we were recording the single, and I tell the team every time we go, I'm like, guys, take a minute. Like think about what we're doing. Do you know how many churches dream of this day? And because Dr. Shah has a vision, because we go to a church where the pastor not only allows this, but supports it, yeah. wants us to be doing it. Yeah. We get to do stuff like this. Yeah. When you do it all the time, I think you can start to lose that. And so that's why I like to remind myself, like, dude, I get to like come and
that's right.
do this radio show. And
it's not a solitary vision, but it's a salutary vision.
I'm not going to fall for it.
Don't you? No, but you have to decide. You cannot just do that.
What did you do? Solitary.
Solitary, but salutary.
That's the second one.
Salutary?
You better decide.
Salutary is the one I'm buzzing.
Salutary?
What do you think?
I mean, it's not solitary. Why would it be solitary? I think he goofed up. I think the secret word is something else completely.
I'm going with salutary.
Is it salutary?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's beneficial. I said it's salutary. No, I was like,
it's going to be one of them.
I salute you. Hey, Clear Me Today.
I hit
it's so funny because when I did that, David and I looked at each other like,
which
I said,
one is it?
And you saluted it? And, it is, and I was like, yeah. And I saluted
I did not even. I didn't think that the first time.
You know,
but it had nothing to do with the word.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, I thought you were setting up like the joke, but I didn't know you were setting up the secret word. That was pretty good. What was that? What were we talking about? See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
See ya.
Adios. But I mean, like, to think about the stuff that you get to do when you're in ministry, I think it's all coming back around to where it's like a lot of people treat the ministry like it's easy work, and it's not easy work, but man, I can't think of work that's more rewarding.
Yeah. 100%.
I can't think of work that I get to wake up and get to be excited and say, what fun project are we going to do today? Not just because it's a fun project, but it's a fun project that God has put on our plate to change people's lives, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's an album or a book or a radio show or whatever it is, like the student ministry, youth ministry, whatever it is. Just seeing how God is using it, you know, that's what makes it rewarding.
Yeah.
And to know that he's using it. And I don't know if you ever felt this, Dr. Shine, I know we're running out of time, but I don't know if you've ever felt this or if people in ministry feel this, but sometimes I feel like a lot of people will leave their job at the end of the day and be like, is God really in this?
Mm.
It happens. Mm. Oh my goodness. It happens, especially in the West.
Mm.
My dad used to tell me that back in the early 80s, not just tell me that we would have discussion in the evening. You know, there is no television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is pre-television days. Television was in India, but not in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
The satellite or the cable or whatever was in the time was not in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So in the evening after news, they would talk. That's a strange concept.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mom, dad, you know, rest of the family, the siblings, we would talk. And one of the things dad would often say is, man, in America, in the West, people can be unpredictable.
Hmm.
Like if things don't go their way, you know, they may leave the marriage or they may leave the job or they're very random.
Hmm.
I remember him saying that. I was like, random, how does that work? Random. Random means you just do what you feel like doing. And if you think about it, a lot of our movies and our songs are based around that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel happy, leave.
And that was a foreign concept to you back then.
Right. Just because you're not happy. You know, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, it doesn't make me happy. No. Capture the vision and then in time you will reap the harvest.
That's right.
So the final person is a leader.
Mm.
It falls a lot on the leader. Are you a good leader? Maybe someday we can talk more about that.
Oh, definitely.
What kind of a leader you have to be so you will have followers and not collect a bunch of survivors or saboteurs or workers.
Mm.
You're going to have them, but your goal is to make them followers of the vision that God has given to you.
That's right.
And for that, you have to work at it and seek at it and sacrifice for it.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
That's so good. So helpful in talking about, you know, the different types of people that are in a workplace and what it takes of a leader to make those workers and those saboteurs to transform them into followers. Mm-hmm. So good. Make sure you guys join us tomorrow, same time, same station. We're going to be diving into another great topic here on the Clearview Today Show. John, anything you want to plug as we close today?
Yes, absolutely. Dallas, Texas, we are coming your way at warp speed. We are going to be at NRB. We already said that at the top of the episode, but make sure that if you're there, you come by the booth, say hi. We may even shout out your ministry. We're going to be doing some live shows from the floor. Also want to remind you that Dr. Sean Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nation, is out right now on Amazon. It's book 3 of a 3-book series. And you can also get all of our original music on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. It's under Clearview Worship. Just make sure you search that. We got a brand new single coming out very, very soon.
That's right. Make sure you guys join us for the conversation tomorrow. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.